Thank you.
Today we are looking at chapter 5 of Samuel, and it has 12 verses. And it's principally deals with the ark in the possession of the Philistines. Remember that in the previous study, the Philistines defeated the Israelites in a battle, and they took possession of the ark of the Lord, and they took it back to their land. And so the whole of this chapter is about the ark in the hands of the Philistines. Okay, so today's study is about the spiritual significance of having the ark of God in the possession of the Philistines. Before we can understand the study for today, let's take a look at what the ark represents spiritually. The first time the word ark appeared in the Bible was when the Lord commanded Noah to build an ark. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of Jehovah wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." The ark was a prototype of the ark Moses was required by the Lord to build. There are many similarities between these two acts. The following verses of scriptures bring out what the ark stands for spiritually. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. Numbers chapter 10, verse 35. And it came to pass when the ark set forth that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." 2 Samuel 6, 2. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called the name of the Lord of hosts that dwells between the cherubims. And then Judges chapter 20, verse 27. The children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. So basically, it's telling us that the ark represents Christ. From these verses, it becomes obvious that the ark of the covenant represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the ark of the Lord commanded the Lord, that the ark the Lord commanded Moses to build is also Christ. When we are in him, we are delivered from the flood waters of false doctrines, carnality, traditions, human wisdom, etc. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou wilt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Noah, his wife, and his sons' wives represents the elect who have fled to take refuge in our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to note that it is through the Lord's judgment of the flood that Noah and all those saved took refuge in the ark. In other words, take refuge in Christ. Our Lord's judgment of our old man of flesh is what facilitates our being found in Christ. Noah's ark resting on the seventh month is another way of saying that the Lord rested on the seventh day from all his work. All of these are to confirm to us that the ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. And the ark rested on the seventh month, and on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now let's take a look inside the Ark of the Covenant. There are three items. the golden pot holding the manna, Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3-5. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid, run about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So these are the three items in the ark. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. On a positive note, the golden pot containing the manna represents the Lord's word. The manna actually is the Lord's word. It is through the word that we are in him and he is in us. The Lord commanding Noah to bring food into the ark emphasizes the point that it is through the word of the Lord that we find ourselves in him. John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The next item in the ark was Aaron's rod. As we are aware, a rod signifies discipline or judgment. This Aaron's rod refers to the judgment we must go through in order to be found in Christ. As we know, the flood was the catalyst that resulted in Noah and his family being found in the ark or in Christ. It is therefore through the Lord's judgment that we are found in him. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the last of men, but to the will of God." The third item in the ark is the tables of stone on which were written the commandments of the Lord. The tables of stone reminds us of our spiritual poverty state, as we were not able to obey the Lord's commandments, as our hearts were hardened like the tables of stone. To be in Christ, therefore, we must first acknowledge that we are spiritually bankrupt, as our hearts are hardened like stone. However, through the grace of God, we now have a heart of flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. "For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." With this as the basis of our study for today, the lesson will be more understandable in its application to our lives. Remember, we are dealing with how the ark in the possession of the Philistines. It is important to know that when Christ revealed himself to John at the island of Patmos, John turned to see the voice of the Lord. This means that part of the scriptures deal with what has happened to us in the past. Revelation chapter 1 verse 10 says, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And as I turned to see the voice that spoke with me," so we tend to see, and being turned, "I see seven golden candlesticks." So like John, we are turning today to see how the Lord has taken us, what the Lord has done as he took us through. So today's study is about looking behind us to see how the Lord has dealt with us in the past when we passed through the valley of the shadow of death. The ark is brought to Ashdod. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. "When the Philistines captured the ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod." The Philistines capturing the ark of God signifies our old man of flesh opposing and assaulting himself above God as he sits in the temple of God, showing himself as God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3-4. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, that man of sin is our flesh, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Ebenezer means stone of help, which is Christ. Ashdod denotes a ravager, who is a person that causes extensive destruction or devastation or ruin. The devil, of course, is the ravager. Therefore, the ark of God being moved from Ebenezer to Ashdod implies that when our flesh is sitting in the throne of our hearts and mind, then it means that we have left our first love of Christ and are under the sway of our flesh, powered by the devil. In other words, the devil becomes our father. As a result, we become worse off. This situation is what Paul described as follows. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God had shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Confessing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This one is now describing when we are overtaken by our flesh. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God unto an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 32 says, who knows? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. When we are ruled by our flesh, we are no longer in Christ. This happened to us during our time in the churches of this world due to the great swelling of words of vanity we imbibed, which were propagated by the leaders of the church system of this world of Babylon. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to 9, 20. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are led through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning, as indicated in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. In our worst state, we end up serving the creature instead of the Creator. That means that our attention is turned to the things of this world instead of Christ. We must understand that the ark being captured by the Philistines is therefore the occasion the Lord is seeking to come to us with his judgment when we are full of the flesh, so that we will learn righteousness. In other words, so that the Lord will destroy our flesh. Judges chapter 14, verse 1 to 4 says, and Samson went up to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the circumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8 and 9 says, in the path of your judgment, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and your remembrance are the desires of our soul. My soul yearns for you in the night, and my spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world lay in righteousness. So we come to 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 2. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. As indicated, the Philistines taking the ark of God means that our flesh is the one ruling our hearts and mind, thinking that he is God, in the sense that we think that we make our own decisions. Isaiah 14, 13 to 15 gives us such an example. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yes, we make our own decisions. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's our flesh. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed and the son of destruction, who opposes and assaults himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes the seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. The name Dagon means a fish and was a Philistine deity of fertility, represented by the face and hands of a man and the tail of a fish. Dagon therefore represents the devil who empowers our flesh. The ark being brought into the house of Dagon and being set beside Dagon therefore means that we are controlled by the god of this world, the devil, as our minds are blinded by him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When we are full of the flesh, being the same as the Philistines taking hold of full control of the ark, full of the flesh, we are under the control of the devil. And then we are blinded. Our minds are blinded. We cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And when day of Ashdod arose early in the morrow, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. As the Lord's elect, we were overwhelmed by the flesh during our time in the churches of this world, but the Lord did not forget us. Romans chapter 11, verse 2 says, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? how he appealed to God against Israel. In the fullness of time, he will come to us to start the process of delivering us from ourselves, that's from our own flesh. The early morning in verse 3 signifies the rising of the morning star in our hearts as the Lord comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness. In other words, as we are charged by the Lord through his coming, the flesh is being destroyed. It implies that the influence of the devil over our flesh is reduced. That is what it means for the idol Dagon to fall with his face on the earth before the ark. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. The fact that the people set up Dagon in his place again is to make us aware that the Lord's judgment is a process as our flesh is gradually incapacitated by the Lord's judgment of our flesh. The cutting off of the head and the palms of Dagon's hands means that the devil's influence over our flesh is subdued over time as we learn righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The inhabitant of Ashdod, smitten with emeralds. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 5. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor anything come into the Dagon's house, tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. Verse 5 shows us another area which has kept us in the dark before Christ came to deliver us, that is, the traditions of men. The mention of the priest of Dagon, together with the people of Ashdod not treading on the threshold of Dagon to date, is to remind us of the idols of the heart which relates to our belief in the false doctrines of traditions. Our flesh is steeped in traditions which robs us of our ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of the Lord. When we were in Babylon, our Lord Jesus pointed this out during his ministry here on earth. Mark chapter 7, from verse 7 to 13. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curse father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is koban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou might be profit by me, he shall be free, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and verses 8 and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emeralds, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the Lord shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. When we are ruled by our flesh, we become like the people of Ashdod. However, as the Lord selects, the Lord comes to judge us. The hand of the Lord being heavy upon the people of Ashdod in verse 6 refers to the judgment of the Lord overwhelming our flesh. The Lord destroying the people of Ashdod with emerald signifies the Lord destroying our old man or flesh through his judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 27. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emeralds and with the scab and with the itch, whereof thou cannot be healed. As shown in Deuteronomy 28, 27 here, the flesh cannot be healed. It has to be destroyed. It is insightful to note that when the men of Ashdod saw that the Lord was judging them, they refused to have the ark of the Lord abiding with them. This implies that our flesh will always try to avoid judgment. Hand of the Lord being sore upon the people of Ashdod and upon Dagon, their god, means that the Lord will continue to judge our old man, and in the fullness of time will judge the devil who empowers the flesh, represented by Dagon, the god of Ashdod. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 8. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines upon them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord, of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of the Lord of Israel about there. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 4, the number of the lords of the Philistines is given as 5. As in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 4. Then said they, "What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" And they answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords. The negative application of the number 5 means famine of the word of the Lord, which brings us to spiritual poverty. These 5 lords represent the various stages of our domination by our flesh, which brings us to spiritual poverty through the famine of the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 45, verse 11. "And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." That means wine press. Therefore, the ark being taken to Gath implies that we face intense multidirectional pressures as the Lord's hand of judgment becomes heavy on us. However, through the grace of the Lord, we are sustained by his power to endure without being completely destroyed. The Lord will not relent in dealing with our flesh until he has destroyed it. All of these pressures are to bring us to learn righteousness so that we will be in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 9. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great. And they had emeralds in their secret parts. The Lord continues judging us until our flesh is destroyed. It is important to note that here in verse 9, both small and great were judged with emeralds in their secret parts. That is another way of saying that we never graduate from the Lord's judgment. The small and the great being judged implies that at every stage of our walk with Christ, whether we are matured, whether we are beginning, we are being judged. Revelation chapter 19, verse 18. That he may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captives, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bonds, both small and great. Just talking about a different category, no matter what it is, we are judged through all our stages of our spiritual development. The ark of God brought to Ephraim. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass as the ark of God came to Ekron, that Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emeralds, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. The name Ekron, according to Brown River, Drivers Bridge means to be torn up by the roots. The people of Ekron crying out because the ark of God of Israel had been brought in their midst to slay them is to let us know that the presence of the Lord, that's the ark, and the judgment, in judgment, they go together with the purpose of destroying our flesh by the roots. The fact that there were three cities of the Philistines that were judged by the Lord because of the ark, Ashdod, Gath, and Ekron, means that our spiritual maturity is through the Lord's judgment of our old man or flesh. That's the significance of the number three. The great destruction that took place in the city of Ekron is to remind us that the Lord, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, will not relent until he has destroyed our flesh through his judgment. The men of Ekron's crying, going up to heaven, means that the Lord was going to take action in Ekron. The same thing happened to the Israelites in Egypt when they cried to the Lord because of their oppression. The Lord took action and came to their aid. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. In a similar vein, when we cry to the Lord during our fiery trials, the Lord comes to our aid as he provides a way of escape for us to be able to bear the suffering. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That is the God we serve. He always makes a way for us to be able to bear it. So we thank the Lord for his unwavering love that he keeps showing to us every day. And that is how we end today's study. Amen.